Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. Let me just share a little bit of what happened yesterday with the Omega Radio Network. It went down, and I was talking to Mark Davidson, who we interviewed yesterday, and he said, you know, that normally happens with the information that he has. You know, it's either a glitch, a delay, or if something freezes, you know, there's always a problem, but we have resolved the problem because of our dear friends over at Rev Media and Omega Radio, because of that momentary glitch, is working better now than before. And here's what I mean. For anybody that went to Omega Radio and they would put on their player, it would always be stuck in the title of what was playing in the Feast of Dedication. It was stuck there for almost a year. And because of the glitch yesterday, now, when you go to omegaradio.org, the title of the program that is playing is on, and it's changing with each program. So it's better than it's ever been. You know, every time the enemy tries to stop something, God's going to do something better if we're faithful to him, because he's always faithful to us. But here's the glory. After this radio broadcast this morning, and it is Friday, it is the official day of summer. Summer has begun, and there's a reason why I'm emphasizing that. But I want you to know that right after this radio broadcast, this live broadcast here, I'm going to replay on the Omega Radio Network the interview with Mark Davidson yesterday. And how interesting that Mark Davidson has written about the Iranian invasion, or the Great Iranian Invasion. And here it is on the news. Now, last night, as you know, the president of the United States ordered a strike against several Iranian strategic positions, but at the last minute, he called it off. And so we wake up this morning and we're hearing about this, and the questions, why, what happened? And it's all about, well, is this just a tactic to get to the negotiating table? Did Iran really shoot that $120 million drone out of the sky as a desire to get America's attention, to sit back at the table? And then, of course, Lindsey Graham comes out and says, well, if that's the case, then, you know, our enemies can do that again and again. So, in other words, do something devastating to get our attention, and then we sit down with them. So the president wasn't going to take that tact last night. He was going to order the strikes. He did order the strikes, and at the last moment told them to sit back. So, again, Mark Davidson is talking yesterday all about his book about the Iranian movement. And he uses terms that you turn on the news this morning, and they're using the experts the exact terms. I think Mark Davidson should be on Fox News sharing with them the information that he's been studying for 16 years. And we need to pay attention. So as I said, right after this radio broadcast, we will replay the Mark Davidson interview. And then immediately following that on Blog Talk Radio, on Omega Radio, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Patricia Joy will bring another roundtable discussion. And then following that, Jay Sekulow, Sandy Rios, Brian Fisher, and these are all up-to-date, present conversations you need to be hearing. And what we're doing, what I'm doing, is I'm scouring the internet, looking for the most up-to-date information about what's going on in our country and around the world from a biblical perspective. And I'm putting it on the Omega Radio Network so that people can just plug in their iPad, their iPod. They could do in your car, just omegaradio.org, and you can be listening. And we're putting some very good information out over the airwaves. So I'm so thankful that the momentary glitch yesterday is going to turn into something much better. And I'm going to be replaying the interview with Mark Davidson throughout the day and throughout the week. And throughout the weekend as well. And so where do we begin today? I want to tell you about a conversation that happened this morning. I woke up to the sound of a lawnmower. And our friend, Jose, he mows the lawn every 2 weeks because we just rent here. And in order to keep everything up, you know, the owners make sure that all that's done. So that's our responsibility, actually, to do that. And Jose's out there, and he's mowing the lawn, and I needed to go out and give him his finances for that. And we had a conversation, and Jose starts telling me, as we're sitting there just chatting, he said, "Vincent, what do you think this country is going to look like when you can't get your food, when you can't get your water, and you can't get money out of the banks?" And I looked at him. He must have thought I had, you know, seen four heads or something, because I said, you know, people don't just talk about this. And he began, he also told me about how he was learning in the book of Daniel about the image of the beast. Remember, the head of gold, the arms of silver, the belly of brass, and the thighs, and then the feet were iron mixed with clay. He said, you know, that prophecy is happening right now. The globalists, he's telling me this, the globalists are trying to mix all the races to make it one human race, regardless of color, creed, culture, religion. And he said, but just like that image, the clay and the iron will not mix. And then he started talking about the crisis at the border. And Jose is a Mexican from Mexico, and he's living in Arkansas. And he tells me, every day I tell my children to be thankful to God that we at this moment have the opportunity to prepare what the next moment may be like. And I'm sitting there watching, listening, dialoguing with my friend Jose. And I asked him about the border. He says, no. He said, it's a major crisis. People have to come in the right way. And, you know, this is overwhelming. And he said, there's no order. And so here is a Mexican man from Mexico who brought his family into the United States legally, who's working very hard to not only provide for his family food and shelter and clothing and the necessities of life, but also with tears warning them to stay in the Word of God, keep your mind in the Word of God, and always thank God for what we have as a family. So he's really tending to his flock, to his family. And I was so impressed with the conversation. Last night, before going to bed, we have this little stick that you put in the back of your TV. It's called a Fire Stick. And what that does, it opens us up to other alternative news sites like One America News. I think they're excellent at what they do. And it also allows us to have access to YouTube. And I found a YouTube video with Pastor David Wilkerson, and his whole message was in 1 hour. And I looked at my messages. Every morning I send messages out to as many people as I can, and it's titled In 1 Hour. And Pastor David Wilkerson was talking about the suddenly moment, and this was way after 9/11. And he was talking about the suddenly moment that would come upon the United States. And he was showing images. Whoever put this together, they had David Wilkerson's message, and then they were putting together scenes from what would be that were connected to the message. And they were showing what's going on in this country. I don't know where they got the video, but it was real. It was put together beautifully. It connected to the message perfectly. And they were showing the ill things that are going on. We're grown men in a particular city. We're marching with diapers on. They had faces, masks of babies. And then they all jumped on the ground in an orgy kind of look. And they're squiggling on the ground and with the masks of little babies. And they're grown men in diapers. And this continual looking at what's going on Wall Street, the greed, the corruption, the homosexuality, the pedophilia, this video nailed it. And I thought, my God, my friend Jose, who for a living mows lawns, he and I connected today, and he's bringing this conversation up. And I'm telling you, so you don't think you're alone. They're everywhere, God's people, that are awakened to the reality of what is coming and what has already come. When you step back and think about it, I want to go into Ezekiel chapter 8. Yesterday, I had been studying here, and I believe this is an accurate, prophetic picture of what's coming. I mean, when your lawn care person starts telling you, what are you going to do? And my response to him was, well, we left San Diego, California many years ago because the Holy Spirit told us to come here and to buy a little land and to dig a little well and to plant a little garden and to put a little energy up there of solar and windmill and generated power. And to prepare a place so that our church family will have a place to go rather than just tossing everybody to the wind and to government facilities. We'll have a place to go. And I told him we built RV pads and we did all these different things. And I said, what I don't understand, Jose, I said, you go to church, obviously. He said, yes. I said, why isn't your pastor gathering the congregation together? And why aren't you guys buying some land and putting your skills together like you? You're a gardener. He used to be a gardener with corn and beans in Mexico. I said, your skill will be so useful in the last days because most people don't know how to grow their own food. They don't know how to tend to a garden. They don't know how to fix a motor on a lawnmower or anything else. I said, but why doesn't your congregation buy some land? And why don't you, as a community of believers that go to church every week together, do a project together? And I said, I don't understand why all churches are not gathering together, putting their funds together, buying land together, and then putting all the different skills of the people together to prepare for a community where we won't have to go to Walmart and get our food. We won't have to run to the ATM banking system to get money because everybody's been diligent to utilize the money they have to prepare for the end. And then to have your bartering leftovers of coffee and sugar and this, that, and the other thing, and to have a little silver and to have a little gold on the side for emergencies. But you got to prepare to go into the wilderness for 3.5 years, and you're not going to be coming and going as you used to. You're not going to get up with a desire, I want to go traveling today or I want to go to the store today. You got to understand that when you go into the wilderness, like it says in the book of Revelation, you're in it and you must be able to go through. And God blessed the people of Israel when they left Egypt to go into their wilderness experience. And you have to know that when we go into the wilderness, God will provide for us right before we leave. There'll be a transfer of wealth so that we can have the provisions. But even then, what's the good use of gold and silver in the wilderness, right? Well, it's not to build a calf. It's for bartering. It is for use as things go on. This is the wisdom of God. But God will be the provider, and he's wanting to provide. And he's wanting churches and people that believe, like my friend Jose said. He said, Vincent, we are in the last days. I'm waking up this morning to this because I'm hearing the mower early in the morning. And he's saying it's the last days. And I don't know why people aren't preparing. And I said, well, probably the majority of people don't think they're going to be here because they're going to be raptured out. And he laughed. He said, yeah, that's so sad. And we didn't go any further with that conversation. But right now is the time to prepare strategically. Be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And if the right people are not the people you go to church with every day, then who is? I mean, if the community of believers in Jesus Christ who represent the family of God and the Spirit that have a common understanding that we're in the last days, they understand there's no preacher of rapture, they understand that we need to get ready and prepared. Well, if they're not getting ready and prepared in a community, then what are we really doing? Are we basically saying by our lack of preparation that we don't believe it's the last days? Maybe we're just verbalizing it because we've been around it for so long. We're saying it, but we're looking at the world and everything looks normal today. And so we're really not taking the precautionary steps to prepare, to get ready, to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. Is that possible? Well, it is possible that we could say we believe something, but by our actions, we don't. We don't. And this is what I want to know about these churches that are out there that are proclaiming we're in the last days, who don't believe there's going to be a preacher of rapture, that the United States might find itself in the position of Venezuela very soon. You know, just because we have, you know, somebody at the helm, the president of the United States is fighting for our country, does not mean nothing bad is going to happen. In fact, with the video that I saw with David Wilkerson last night, the things that are going on are so detestable and so disgusting. Let me get to the book of Ezekiel chapter 8 briefly. And I want you to listen to the heart of God in this as he's dealing with the prophet Ezekiel, and God is showing him something. God is showing him something. And God, I believe, is showing you something. As one of his children, one of his kids, I hope that God is revealing things to your heart. Now listen to this in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, this is Ezekiel talking now. He said, I sat in my house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. So here's Ezekiel sitting in his house as the prophet of God with the elders of Judah, and suddenly the hand of the Lord is upon him. And he says in verse 2, then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward fire, and from his loins even upward as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. So in the spirit, the hand of the Lord is upon Ezekiel. He is now seeing something. Probably the elders of Judah were not seeing it. He's now in the spirit, and he's seeing some kind of a being in this likeness. In verse 3, he put forth the form of a hand, this image that he saw, this being, whether it be an angel or Yeshua, Jesus, God. But he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem. So Ezekiel is going on a spiritual journey. This being is taking him to Jerusalem in the Spirit. And it says he took me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looks toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy. The image of jealousy. Now, We're going to look at this, what it actually means, but I want to get a little definition of the image of jealousy. And let's just see in the Hebrew exactly what that word is. And when we look at it, the word jealousy there in the Hebrew is the kine. And what it actually means is the image that provokes jealousy or envy or zeal. Now, Jesus, when he went through the temple with a whip, he went through the temple and they said that was the zeal of the Lord, and he was right. So what is Ezekiel seeing, first of all? An image that is provoking zeal, the hot displeasure of the Lord in this sense. It is provoking envy and jealousy. Verse 4. So this is what God is showing him. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. So God, I want you to get this, is taking prophet Ezekiel by the Spirit, in the Spirit, to Jerusalem, and God is ready to show him what's going on in Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel, the capital. Verse 5, then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up your eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy. In the entry, verse 6, he said furthermore unto me, Son of man, do you see what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel commits here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn ye that again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. So what is the first thing that God shows Ezekiel? He shows the abominations, and he calls them great abominations. Now, what is interesting about this chapter, when you get into the abominations that he's referring to, it is the abomination of idolatry. It is the abomination of sexual perversion. And these are the things that God is going to show the prophet are going on in the land. I saw last night in the video images, God shows anybody that has an eye to see, a heart to understand, an ear to hear, what's going on in our land. So God says, but you know what they're doing, Ezekiel? They're trying to drive me out of my own sanctuary. These people that are committing these great abominations are trying to drive me off. And you almost get the sense that God's heart is a little, you know, offended by this provocation of this image of jealousy by their actions. Verse 7, he brought me to the door of the court when he said, I'm going to show you even greater abominations. Verse 7, he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. Let's go a little deeper. And when I had digged in the wall, when I got behind the scenes, when I went beyond the exterior, behold a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping things, an abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand. And a thick cloud of incense went up. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord has forsaken the earth. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. So what is this? What's happening here? There's something going on. We call it today the deep state, the dark state, the Illuminati, the Council of 13, the 13 families at the top of the pyramid, the Club of Rome, the globalists. There's something going on behind the scenes. You have to dig down a little bit into it. You have to open the door, and you have to see what is going on in secret. And therein, you begin to see the abominable idolatry and the wicked perversions. And that's what he calls it, wicked abominations. We went from great abominations to wicked abominations. And why is God showing Ezekiel this? Well, you're going to find out in just a moment. Why is God showing you as a Christian the abominations going on in America? Why is God showing you as a Christian the abominations going on in the world? And if your attitude towards them is simply, oh, that's always been that way, you have fallen. If your heart is not moved by what you see going on, something's wrong with your heart. If you just say, well, my life is okay, it's not touching me, it's not affecting me, something's wrong with your heart. God is showing the prophet Ezekiel what God himself is seeing in the secret of men's hearts and their minds and their actions. But why is he showing them? Well, verse 14, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. Well, what is this whole Tammuz thing? Well, you know that Tammuz was the Babylonian god of spring. He was the husband or lover of the goddess Ishtar. And the followers of this cult believed that the green vegetation shriveled and died in the hot summer because Tammuz had died and descended into the underworld. Thus, the worshippers wept and mourned his death. In the springtime, when the new vegetation appeared, they rejoiced, believing he had come back to life. And God was showing Ezekiel that many people were no longer worshiping the true God of life and vegetation. And this is a provocation of jealousy and envy. Does not a man who's married to a woman, if he sees that his woman is weeping for another man, provoke jealousy? God was married to Israel. He was united with them, in covenant with them, and yet they're now worshiping false gods. It's easy to understand that America was in covenant with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. When you go back to our beginning, to our foundation, you know it's true. But God says, Ezekiel, let me show you one more thing in verse 16. Not only are they committing abominations, their adultery and fornication and idolatry, but they're going into deep, wicked abominations with the portraying, which is basically pornography, if you will, is what they're literally talking about, of the grossest images, and every man is entangled with these dark, satanic spirits. But not only that, he's now showing the false worship of Tammuz, and then verse 16, the fourth thing that God shows to Ezekiel. He brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, the very Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they worshiped the S-U-N, the sun, toward the east. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they have committed the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, will I also deal in fury. My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. So what is this? the most offensive thing to God that the very people in his own temple turn their backs on him and worship the sun. That's like a preacher turning his back on the word of God to appease the masses, to appease the congregation, to tell them what they want to hear, to minister to them while their back is turned to God. Would that not be an offense? Oh, how deeply offended was God. He was provoked by the image of jealousy, by the abominations that were being committed in his own land, Israel, and his own city, Jerusalem, and his own temple. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the land of America today, when you look at this country, the whole nation, you go to the capital city. I happen to have been in Washington, D.C., where I was taken deep underground by our congressman. Deep underground. Getting you from the White House to the Capitol building to different places of transportation. Deep underground. And what they do, what God showed Ezekiel, behind closed doors, the secret societies, the banging of the glasses in cheerful celebration between the left and the right accomplishing their goals. To do what? To offend God. The Supreme Court of the United States of America offended God for years. We saw some judgment. Now, things look like they're taking a turn, right? What will the Supreme Court rule in the days ahead about different issues? Everybody wants to know. We've slaughtered 80 million babies in the womb. We've shed innocent blood. We've promoted the abomination. And God's asking somebody, do you see this? Do you see it? Have you allowed my spirit and my word to take you and show you what is going on? And now how everybody has their eyes on the next new king? But have you seen what they've done to my land? The land that I brought the people to from the European continent, the land I brought them into, a fruitful land, a bountiful land, a land that I made covenant with the people of the land. And they put a cross in Virginia and they dedicated the land to me, and I blessed them and I gave them all that I had, and I protected them from the wild Indians and the storms of life, and I blessed them and I gave them an economy, and I gave them food, and I gave them water, and I gave them a labor force, and I gave them my law, and I gave them all the things that I gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden, all the systems I gave them. But they, like everybody else, have turned it over to the Lucifer, turned it over to the Diablo, the devil. And now the systems are under the control of a satanic mind. And those who control it will use it for their own power and greed and corruption. And we're witnessing. I have heartbreaking stories I could tell you if I had time coming out of CBN. Little six-year-old girl is traumatized because her teacher says there's no such thing as boys and girls. I'm telling you, if you think that Iran and the Middle East and the caliphate and ISIS are violent, I'm telling you, the more violent movement in the world today is the LGBTQ community. That's right. They are more violent in their encroachment than anything you've imagined. And we have to be careful when people start supporting the LGBTQ that looks like a lamb, but inwardly is a ravening wolf. And you walked around, you watched this movement. And if you have children involved in that movement, you ought to tell them, do you know what you're involved with? Do you see what they are doing in the upper echelons? You're just a pawn in the scheme of things. And you better wake up and repent of your perversion and your wickedness and turn to Jesus Christ for mercy and grace. Get cleansed so that your eternal soul will not be damned and the smoke of your torment will not go up forever. Because guaranteed, if you don't receive Jesus Christ, you're going to receive the mark of the beast. You're going to receive something. And if it's not Jesus, if it's not Yeshua, if it's not the gospel, then you've chosen Satan and his mark, and you will pay because Satan is not your friend. And what you're doing is a wicked abomination if you're involved in the lifestyle of LGBTQ. But they are a violent militia in the land today. I tell you, a little girl, 6 years old, the classroom was being told there's no such thing as boys and girls. That's just a small thing. So God, in chapter 8, shows the prophet Ezekiel. And then he tells him, now Ezekiel, that's what they're doing, so here's what I'm going to do. And here's where I think things get very prophetic right now. On this first day of summer, welcome to June 21st. Welcome to summer 2019. I have termed it the summer of violence. And believe that from this day, for the next 4 months, going into fall, the United States of America is going to witness great violence. I've been saying this for months now. Not only through these airwaves, and I understand, believe me, I understand the accountability of saying these things. I believe that you're going to see great violence in the next 4 months in this country. Whether they are suitcase nuclear weapons, whether they are dirty bombs, coming from Iranian sleeper cells or terror cells, or Russian sleeper cells or terror cells, or Chinese or North Korean or South American or domestic false flag events, something. 2019, summer of violence. Today marks the beginning, I believe. I go back to the Word of God, and I've seen the abominations in our land. I try to tell them to our listeners all the time. And sometimes people get tired of hearing it. But the reality is, you've got to see what God sees. He's showing us these things for a reason. And the reason why he wants to show you the evil, wicked abominations, like he did to Ezekiel, so that you'll understand he's justified in what he's allowing to happen in this country. You've already seen a lot, have you not? And yesterday with Mark Davidson, The Spirit of the Lord said, now, everything up to this very moment, this very second right now, has been a one particular level of violence, whether it was the hurricanes, the F5 tornadoes, the wildfires, the school shootings, the shootings in Las Vegas, the shootings at the church in Texas, the mosque shootings, the synagogue shootings, whatever, all these things that have been happening, these calamities, that was a certain level. We have just left. That's what this pause has been. The book of Revelation always has what I call a pause in the pangs. Now they get taken to another level the closer we getting to the birthing of the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the earth. Now is going to come the larger pangs, the more intense pangs. And they were intense, these other ones, while they were happening. Everybody was in the room while the woman is travailing. And go, oh my gosh, look at this. But wait, the new level is at the door. And here's what I believe God is showing. He's showing the abominations. He's showing the wickedness. People are confused because of the political rhetoric that's going on. I'm keeping my head in the Word of God. I hope you are too. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 1, this is what God says, how he's going to deal in fury. He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city. Now, he's not talking about city officials necessarily. He's given a charge to someone over the city. And he said, cause them to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. I believe that the inkhorn has gone forth. I believe that this absolutely connects with Revelation chapter 7. Here in Ezekiel chapter 9, the man with the inkhorn was said to put a mark on the foreheads of those that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done. And unfortunately, I believe that's a very small number, because very few are sighing and crying over the abominations. In fact, we're making them political debates. We're saying, is God okay with it? Is God not okay with it? We're kind of in our own little deceptive mindsets, and here the word of God is glaringly telling us the truth, right? So in Revelation, hold your finger in Ezekiel 9, Revelation chapter 7, it's the same thing. It says in verse 1, After these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000, the servants of God, were sealed in their foreheads. The four winds were being held back. The four winds in Daniel chapter 7 strive upon the great sea of humanity, political and social agitations. And out of that sea of turmoil comes four beasts in Daniel 7. Well, when these winds blow, which are probably the trumpets, because you don't get a sound out of a trumpet unless you blow wind through it, out of the trumpets that will follow, the human race is going to be in so much turmoil. And then finally, we're going to get to Revelation 13, where out of the turmoilous sea of humanity, a beast will rise and will begin his 3.5 year. It's all being set up right now. It's all being set up right now. But there's a ceiling. I want to get back to Ezekiel chapter 9. Why is God doing all this? Verse 5 of Ezekiel chapter 9. To the others, he said in my hearing, go ye after him. Okay, here they come with the slaughtering weapons now. Go ye after him. In other words, when this guy goes and he marks those that sigh and cry for the abominations, you, others, go after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Hold your finger there. Go with me to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Listen carefully to the word of God. Revelation chapter 9. Verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power. Those six men with the slaughtering weapons, they were given power. They were given charge over the city. Well, these locusts were given power as the scorpions of the earth have power, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So the only people that are going to get hurt are those that don't have the seal of God in their foreheads. And the only people that have the seal of God in their foreheads are those who sigh and cry for the abominations that are committed. Their hearts are broken. They are overwhelmed. They're not lukewarm. They're not caught in the lukewarm, compromised, watered down system of things going on in the world. There's still some place in their heart to sigh and cry for the evil that is being perpetrated on the earth. Is that you? Well, listen, whether it's locusts coming out of a pit, whether it's the four winds that you're going to release, the four trumpet blasts that are going to hit the earth, where we're going to see a devastating loss of life. Going back to Ezekiel chapter 9, here's what he told them to do. And again, this is against his own people. It says, then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Verse 7 goes on to say, and he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and they slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, this is Ezekiel talking, he's seeing all this in the spirit, while they were slaying them and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, will thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, verse 9, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah, the iniquity of the house of America is exceeding great and throughout the earth. And the land is full of blood, abortion, and the city full of perverseness, sexual perversion of every evil sort. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, my eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded me to do. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter how long we've read the scriptures or heard the scriptures. The truth in the midst of all the deception and lies, God is ready to move in fury against the nations of the earth, and he's going to move against the United States of America. God is just as just in his righteousness and mercy and love and grace as he is in his judgment and wrath and condemnation. And the Lord from heaven looks upon the earth and he condemns what he sees. And he looks for those who have fled to the cross, to his son, who have received his mercy, where condemnation has been removed from their soul, and they have refused to participate in the ills and evils. And they have chosen the way of righteousness rather than the compromise and the lukewarmness and the futility of external religion. I'm telling you the truth. I claim to be nothing, but this word of God is everything, and the prophet Ezekiel saw something. When God took him by the lock of his head, and he took him and suspended him between heaven and earth, I was there once, and I saw a dark earth with just a few little lights on. Here and there. And the glory of God was in those homes. And the rest of the earth was darkened, taken over by someone that had been given the right
the charge against the city, against the nation. The level of devastation and destruction that your eyes will now see in the new level of judgment, hopefully you will not be too shocked. Hollywood has been doing everything in their power to show you, as they always do, what's coming. People en masse have been creating videos, and they've been lining up the real events with the Word of God. And God's Word is showing you a time of slaughter. Who are the six men with the destroying weapons, the slaughtering weapons? I happen to believe they belong to the wild man, Ishmael, Islam. But I also know that Ishmael and Islam have gone hand in hand with Germany, Russia, the powers of darkness under the mind of Lucifer will be permitted to move. What God has been doing in the pausing of the pangs, is looking. The seven eyes of the Lord travel to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone that loves him, honors him, serves him. He's looking for his servants, not religious people caught up in tradition, organization, servants that have shut the world out, have turned towards the Lord, not those who turn their back on the Lord and look to the idols and the perversions of immorality. This is the word of God you're hearing today. This is what God has revealed. And this message, you say, oh, it's in Ezekiel, it's Old Testament. No, it's in the book of Revelation. It's in 2 Peter. It's in 2 Thessalonians. It's in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, that the events that will come in the last days will cause men's hearts to melt for fear for what they see coming upon this earth. Men will continue in their shenanigans and their Hegelian dialectic. They will continue in their wisdom and their satanic wisdom. And Satan loves it. Satan's not the friend of the greatest witch in the world. He's not their buddy. He's using mankind to usher in their own destruction because Satan knows that God's wrath is real and his righteous judgment cannot be delayed much longer. Satan is creating this atmosphere because he hates mankind, because mankind was created in the image and likeness of God. The light of the world is the ecclesia, the church made up of Jews and Gentiles. Our job was to be salt and to expose the darkness. And the church has failed. How many people are listening to this broadcast right now? Not many. In comparison to 7 billion people on the planet, not many. Wake up. Understand the signs of the times. I've got a few minutes. We're going to be going off into the weekend here. If anybody has a question or comment, the number to call is 818-369-0326. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. Press 1 on your dial pad, and I will bring you directly into this conversation. Has the Holy Spirit ministered to you through this broadcast today? Are you seeing anything that you'd like to share or comment on? If you're joining us late, again, we were down yesterday on the Omega Radio Network, but out of the ashes came even a better reality for Omega Radio, because now when you go to omegaradio.org, which, by the way, in about 6 minutes when I get off the air, my interview with Mark Davidson in full context will be on the Omega Radio Network. So I hope that you will tell a friend and listen yourself if you didn't hear the interview yesterday with Mark Davidson, who wrote the book about the great Iranian invasion. And all of a sudden in the news, I mean, he's been studying for 16 years, and things he talked about yesterday are on the news today about Iran. Very same words, man. So that's going to be on the air on the Omega
Radio Network, which is simply www.omegaradio.org. And then you just hit listen live, and it'll bring you to the player. You click the play button. And not only that, but right after this, Mark Davidson. And then right after Mark Davidson, Patricia Joy Xavier and a roundtable discussion. And then Sandy Rios, Brian Fisher, Jay Sekulow, and so many others will be going forward 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. OmegaRadio.org is working better now than ever before. It is now at its best, because when you go there, the titles of the present programs will be on, and they shift with every program. It was stuck on Feast of Dedication for over a year, but now it's working better than when it went down yesterday. We're going to be gone until Monday morning. We hope to see you then. We'll see how summer begins on this 21st day of June. And we'll just continue to believe that we are a remnant of people. Let me just finish up by saying this. I started telling you about a conversation that I had with my friend Jose this morning. And while he was telling me about all these things, and I was sitting there in awe, thinking, my God, the Spirit of the Lord is being poured out all over the earth, waking people up to this truth. We're not just some fringe element group. I mean, this is all over the world. People are waking up. But we finished our conversation this way. Right before I stood up and I left, I said, you know, Jose, with all these things we're talking about, they're very true. I said, that's why I continue to deal with my heart, to get the condition of my heart right before God. And he smiled. He said, man, that's the harder thing to do, isn't it? Rather than preparing and all that, which is not a substitute. It's not a negation of preparing and doing the things we were talking about, but the condition of our hearts. And in this world, you have to be girded up. You have to be guarded. You have to watch your mind. You have to take thoughts captive. You have to beware of deception. You have to take every thought captive, especially those of you that are out there needing to make big decisions. You need to pray through. You need to really get the witness of the Spirit in what direction you're going in, or what you're going to do, or where you're going to go. Be extremely sensitive. And we could only cry out in mercy to God in this sin-sick world where the environment is so heavy and saturated, and there's such a veil over the minds of the nations. We could only pray that God will give an extra unction of his Spirit to empower the reality within us. In other words, a breaker anointing, a breakthrough anointing within us, so that we can hear, that we can be convicted of the things that God wants us to be convicted about. Holy Spirit is the answer to everything. Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Read the Bible and then ask the river of the Spirit to bring life to that word that you're sowing. Holy Spirit, guide us. Holy Spirit, warn us. Holy Spirit, teach us. Holy Spirit, stand by us. Holy Spirit, comfort us. Holy Spirit, empower us. Holy Spirit, enable us. Holy Spirit, convince us of the things in our life that cannot go into the kingdom. Holy Spirit, be tender with us. Holy Spirit, thank you for your patience with us. Holy Spirit, equip us. Holy Spirit, prepare us. Holy Spirit, waken us up. Holy Spirit, keep us sober. Holy Spirit, the gift of God for our faith in Jesus. Receive the Holy Spirit. And may the Spirit of God lead you from this moment forward into the days ahead. And may we be regathered on Monday morning. Let's see how things go over the weekend. Summer is here officially in the United States. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's been great to be with you. You can head over right now to the Omega Radio Network at www.omegaradio.org, where there is a program in progress from yesterday my interview with Mark Davidson. Immediately following that, Deliverance Roundtable Discussion with Patricia Joy, and it just gets better and better throughout the day. Shalom, everybody, and God bless you.